Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
British military flights are preparing for a large-scale evacuation of UK nationals from Sudan after a three-day ceasefire was agreed. RAF flights leaving an airfield outside the capital Khartoum will open to British passport holders, with priority being given to those most vulnerable. US President Joe Biden's expected to announce his run for re-election, asking voters for more time to finish the job. He says his 50 years' experience in Washington should count for more than concerns over his age. From today, millions of households across the UK will start receiving cost of living payments from the government. Simon Francis from the End Fuel Poverty Coalition is concerned about those who'll miss out.
Especially people with children, so there's almost 700,000 households that will have children in them that won't see any support. There's also going to be a lot of people who might even own their own home but simply can't keep themselves warm. 500,000 homes in the private rented sector.
From Radio News Hub, I'm Andy Hoyle.
Much like you, I've got a lot to complain about, like open-toe sandals. Who thought that was a good idea? Who wants to look at toes? Adults who drink squash. Listen, you're a fully grown person. But I just got my Sky TV and broadband and I've got no complaints.
Once again, Sky had the lowest number of complaints made to Ofcom for pay TV and fixed line broadband. To find out more, visit ofcom.org.uk. We're happy because you're happy.
Oh, hang on, though. Noisy eaters. They're annoying.
Sky. Believe in better.
Colourful. Coming up next, colourful, Julius colourful, on Colourful Radio.
As a small business owner, you'd do everything in your power to protect what you've worked so hard to build, right? Of course you would. We all would. But unfortunately, cybercrime is a major risk for all organisations, no matter how large or small. 39% of all UK businesses reported a cyber attack last year, with the average cost of an incident for small businesses sitting at just over £3,000. That could be enough to seriously harm some of our listeners' livelihoods, no doubt. The National Cyber Security Centre says not having cyber protection is like heading home from the office and leaving the door wide open. Don't do that. Sounds like good advice to me. That's why they've created the Cyber Action Plan, which helps protect your small business. It's free of charge, and you can get free tailored advice in under 5 minutes to help protect your business. So, whatever you do, listeners, don't take the risk. Stay cyber aware. Keep your business and your livelihood protected. And search Cyber Action Plan right now.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful
Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone where you are connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus, another episode, another week. Wonderful to catch up. And of course, we are coming to you from wherever you are, on Colorful Radio, all the way from the heart of London to wherever you are. I'm your host, Julius Mbaluto. And today in the studio, I'm joined by Leo and Casey. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks very much, Julius. Happy to be here.
To our listeners, we want to this particular day we explore something to do with the gorilla. You know, gorilla is amazing animal in Africa. You find it sometimes it's so huge, it's so big, and all you have to do is to befriend one, and no one will ever come close near you. Because of the size. But the story of gorilla, of course, is different context over here, what we are going to explore. I just want to give Leo chance to introduce yourself, tell us what you are doing, and then after that, Casey will do the same.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Julius. So my name is Leo, and I'm one of the founders of That Gorilla Brand. And the other founder is my wife, Casey, who you'll hear from shortly. And That Gorilla Brand is a premium conservation lifestyle brand. And we're using the power of fashion and the spirit of our adventure, and really striving towards making a positive impact in the communities that surround the gorillas' habitat, and also supporting the endangered mountain gorillas, specifically in Uganda and Congo. There are three parts to that gorilla brand, and they're based around clothing is the first pillar. The second pillar is adventures and fundraising through adventures. And the third pillar is about films. And all of this is leading towards making an impact on the ground in Uganda for the gorillas and the surrounding communities.
Time for Casey. And of course, maybe Casey, you can tell us a bit more, like in terms of the impact on the ground. Not quite the impact on the ground yet, but that particular branding, you know, based on a big animal like a gorilla.
Well, we support the conservation of the mountain gorilla, endangered mountain gorilla, and a big part of that is by working with the gorilla organization in Uganda with their community-led conservation projects. So it's a very important part of what we do, supporting communities there and helping them, because if they're okay, the gorillas are okay. So it's a very large part of what we do.
So maybe, Leo, would you think what prompted you to begin with that particular initiative? Was it because gorillas were in any way at risk?
Yes, it all stems back to a few years ago when I was away on a family holiday with Casey and the family and the children. And I started thinking about a variety of different brands that were based around animals and whether those brands were doing anything for the conservation of those specific animals. And the thought of a gorilla came to my mind, and I thought of this brand that we could create called That Gorilla Brand. It could be shortened to TGB, and we would help with the conservation of gorillas. And predominantly we started off with the clothing, and through the clothing we donate to the gorilla organization that is based, as Casey said, in the UK, but a lot of their work, the majority of their work, is done in Kisoro in Uganda, and that's right next to the gorillas' habitat. So that's where it all kind of started off, and it was all based around the fashion and for men's, women's and children's clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants,
swimwear
accessories. And all of those sales, we generate a portion of it that goes to the conservation of gorillas. And of course, as time has gone on, the brand has evolved, and we have brought in the elements of fundraising through physical adventures, and of course, film as well. Film, reason behind film is that we think that it's such an interesting and rich world and ecosystem of what we have created, and so many stories to tell, that it's always very interesting and a beautiful way to be able to explain it and show all of our customers and our followers and our troop members all of the different things that we do through film.
And it's a beautiful way to spread awareness of what we're doing as well, and the reasons why we're doing it, whether it's about the actual gorillas or whether it's to do with the community-led conservation. It's a really lovely way to try and spread awareness about it.
So Casey, yeah, when you look at the way you all started and you are explaining these in different three spheres, like what Leo has just shared, did it just like happen at the same time, or was it just like one by one? Like, let's start with the clothing.
So the brand started when we first started, we just had the clothing line, which, as Leo said, we have had the different categories, men's, women's and kids. And as time went on, we were working with a great strategy team, and Leo had started to do his challenges, his fundraising challenges for the Burundi Community Water Projects, which at that point was completely separate to That Gorilla Brand as a whole. And then we realized it was becoming such a fundamental and important part of what we were doing, and we realized we could make such a difference on the ground in Uganda and make real impact there, that we decided to bring it in as one of the main pillars of the brand along with the film. So it very much happened gradually.
And in terms of the impact, would you say that the impact was equally the same for all these three different ways you are followed?
No, they have different impacts. So the clothing line, we donate a certain amount per item sold goes directly to the gorilla organization, and that goes purely to support their community-led conservation projects. Whereas the That Gorilla Brand initiatives, our own initiatives, that those are supported by our Adventures for a Cause, our fundraising challenges, adventures. So any money that is raised through our fundraising adventures, that money goes directly to our own initiatives. The first one was the Bwindi Community Water Projects, of which we have now completed phase two, and phase three is about to start. I think we've reached about 7,500 people so far with clean and safe water. And that hopefully will double, if not more, by the end. And then also, as we move forward with more fundraising challenges, we'll have more of our own initiatives.
Yeah, so Leo, on the ground, we maybe we want to understand how it works. Because in although Casey, you've spoken about that, I just wanted to find out, is a brand, and if it's just a brand, then we're thinking about how does the brand connect to the conservation activities?
Absolutely. So essentially, That Gorilla Brand, as we've mentioned before, has the three pillars. Specifically on the fundraising, we chose physical adventures to be able to go out and fundraise within our network. So we were able to raise 175,000 euros and work in conjunction with the Gorilla organization and another organization called Just a Drop, and also VAD within the local area. And then what we have done with the assistance and running everything in tandem with the Gorilla organization, those funds that have been raised from the fundraising, i.e. the 175,000 euros, we have gone into the different communities that are very close to the gorilla's habitat. So a lot of the schools, a lot of the communities are all within around 1 to 5 kilometers away from the gorilla's natural habitat. Specifically on this initiative, it's the Bwindi impenetrable forest. So those communities, what we have gone in and we've done studies and we've ascertained which are the correct,
the best ways
and the most important communities to work in first. And then through desk studies and field studies, the teams on the ground with the engineers have gone in and have then started to implement all of the different water projects. So that's really what we have done on the Ventures for a Cause thing. So as Casey said, it's around 7 communities, but within a wider reach of around 25 communities. And it's rainwater harvesting tanks, protected shallow wells, a variety of different methods to improve the ability for the communities to have water. And all of this helps because it means that there's less stress on the gorilla's environment. So it means that the communities are not having to go into the gorilla's habitat, risking unwanted interaction between the communities, the humans, and the gorillas. And that's where stress can really become a big problem and death can happen on either side, in the worst case scenario. In terms of interaction with gorillas, interaction with other wildlife, interaction with poachers. So we've really tried to relieve that stress of the forest, at least with the assistance of the local communities and making these water projects happen. And then really, yeah, on the clothing side of things, we generate the donations per item sold. That goes to the Gorilla organization. The Gorilla organization has been working for decades in Uganda, Rwanda, and Congo, but specifically now it's Uganda and Congo. And it's all about community-led conservation. So it's sustainable farming, beekeeping, reform poachers, education in schools. So all of this is enabling the local communities to live a life outside of the forest and not have to encroach on the gorilla's habitat. So that's really what we've learned a lot over the last few years since we've been involved with this project. We've become extremely passionate about it. We've met a lovely group of people on the ground. I'm very involved with the gorilla organization. Casey is yet to come out to Uganda and to Kasoro to meet the team of the gorilla organization there. But the whole, I think it's a very, very special place. You have this beautiful lake called Lake Mutanda. You have the two gorillas habitats on either side. One is the Bwindi impenetrable forest, and the other side, it's the Mahinga, I think it's the Mahinga Park. So yeah, you've got a lot of the focus is all around there, and it's a very beautiful location with all of the lovely communities as well.
Oh, that sounds great. It's great work you guys are doing. And in terms of public education, like for the people who are living near the gorilla kind of national parks or where they are kept. In terms of public education, public awareness, would you say perhaps is at its highest level or the best? Because, yeah, in terms of countries with wildlife and places like Africa, even Kenya, communities living within close to national parks always had challenges. Animals leaving their habitats, coming to where people are. So maybe, sure, do you have cases like this when it comes to gorillas?
Yeah, I mean, for us, from what we've understood with the people that we've been working with, is that by providing specifically on the water projects and providing the communities with better access to water, it enables the children to be able to go straight to school in the mornings. So they don't have to go out and walk for many kilometers going to further afield water sources. So on the impact of education, that's a very evident first step, is that the kids actually get to go immediately off to school. Another thing that we've heard back and have understood is that specifically some of the schools that we've worked in, and we've brought rainwater harvesting into the schools, that, of course, if you can imagine, it can be very hot during the dry season in these schools, in these areas. So dehydration can cause a lack of concentration. So, of course, for the children being able to have easy access to water within the schools and not having to wait all day until they go home or much later in the day before they can go and source water, again, helps with concentration, helps with education. And that's something that's very important.
I think what we realise is that it has further effects than what we had originally thought. You know, you think of water and the necessities for health, for sanitation, for things like that, but even as far as being able to go to school or being able to concentrate at school once you're there, it's something that was something that we hadn't considered before, which was a really nice a really nice thing to understand.
And also hearing from the local health facility that actually the cases in diarrhea have gone down significantly. So again, that has
almost
that
instantly.
Impact almost instantly. Yeah. So that immediately then again has impact, and the kids are being able to go to school much more on a regular basis.
Colorful radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturiser. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Okay, that sounds, you know, like it's really what you're doing is successful enough. Rwanda is not very far from Uganda, and they also have some gorillas. Are you considering to expand your brand across, or you want to stick to Congo and Uganda?
Yeah, I mean, we're very excited because we are in the process of having our first placement of the clothing side of the brand within a couple of lodges in Uganda. So it's going to be the first placements within Africa of our clothes. Our clothes you can be found in around 35, 36 locations globally, from Los Angeles all the way through to Vietnam. So for us to be able to have, of course, our clothes also being on offer in lodges that are close to the gorillas' habitat, predominantly where people only go to those locations to go and see the gorillas in the wild, we're very excited for that. So we've been welcomed with open arms. We're just working out the logistics of being able to get the products into Uganda, which of course is a whole other story. You have the
customs,
duties, taxes, paperwork. Lots of different paperwork that we need to encounter. And then of course, we'll always look to expand further into Rwanda, into other areas, into South Africa, hopefully, and a variety of different places. We're a brand that's, I think, attractive across the globe to many, many different consumers and customers, and we're excited to see where we can go with the brand, specifically within Africa as well.
Yeah, Africa has just gone through tough time drought period, which was for some countries going on for a couple of seasons with no rain. And I'm aware of cases like in Kenya, some other countries, animals were dying because for lack of water. Was there any effect on gorillas at all?
With the gorillas, we have, from understanding, of course, the gorillas live in the rainforests, in the forest in Bwindi. They live in Rwanda, Congo, and we're talking now, when we're talking about the gorillas that we're supporting, it's the endangered mountain gorillas. So they're all around the Virunga, Bwindi, volcano range, all around that kind of specific area. So we have understandings from the gorilla organization that they are at threat in terms of with regards to water and with regards to climate change as well. So that makes it even more important to not encroach onto the gorilla's habitat, enabling giving the communities the ability to not have to have that risk of going in and encroaching onto the gorilla's habitat.
Yeah, I think if the communities can source their own clean water from outside of the gorilla's habitat, it leaves what water there is within the habitats for the gorillas. And obviously it also, if the gorillas' habitats are not encroached on in terms of taking land or, you know, cutting down trees or things like that, it means that there's more resources for the gorillas themselves.
And predominantly the gorillas are taking all of their water in through
leaves,
everything that they eat.
Yeah.
So,
no, I was asking, like, if they were not affected at all by the change of weather.
Yeah, from what I've understood and from what we've seen is that not as much as the humans. And within the forests, they seem to be okay for the moment. And of course, hopefully over the next decades, that continues to be the same.
Someone would wonder the choice of a name, gorilla. Maybe why not zebra, which we use for the zebra crossing? Easy to connect with in the West. Why gorilla?
Why gorillas? Well, really, it was something that when I came up with the idea that quite a few years ago, and Casey was the first person that I mentioned this whole idea onto. It was I had come up with this idea of creating a band based around gorillas, called that gorilla brand to be shortened to TGB, and to support the conservation. So really, as soon as that kind of idea came up and Casey and I started to discuss it, and the more we researched it and the more that we got involved and sourced the gorilla organization and found that they were the charity that we were going to support, it became, every step of the way, we became more passionate about it. And the more that we understood about gorilla conservation, and the more times that I visited Uganda and met the communities and met the members of the gorilla organization, everything just kind of grew from there. And really, it was all about just really believing in what we were doing and what we are doing, and trying to create as much impact as possible. And that's where we stepped into the Adventures for a Cause and the fundraising, because after I went there for the first time, I'd met a couple of the locals, and the recurring theme that I would ask, What do the local communities need? And the recurring answer was the access to safe, clean water. And I left Uganda after that first trip and really came up a few months after that, really, okay, right, how can we make more of an impact over and above what we're doing with regards to the funds side that are generated through the clothing side? And that's where we stepped into the world of adventure and fundraising and physical challenges, from marathons to trekking to ultra marathons, and going out to the network and really trying to raise as much money to be able to create this Bwindi community water project. So everything leads back to the communities, everything leads back to the gorillas, and it's all about making as much impact as possible that we can as a brand, working with great partners on the ground there in Uganda and working with great partners across all of the different facets of the ecosystem of that gorilla brand.
I think also if we go back to the very, very beginning of when Leo first came up with the idea for the brand, we started doing a lot of research into gorillas themselves, and we found that the values that they have as animals, the strengths, their qualities, were something that we really found inspiring. You know, they're not aggressive, they're not this big scary animal that some people believe they are. They're They're loving, they're loyal, they're strong, they protect their families. And these are all qualities that we felt very strongly about. Mm. So once we did more research into the actual animal itself, it cemented our passion, I think, even more. Mm.
And it was really, really important for us to be able to partner with the gorilla organization. Mm. So Gillian Miller, the lady that runs the organization out of the UK, and then with her whole team on the ground, having that transparent and open discussions with her, and her opening the doors of their whole conservation methods and the last few decades of all of the work that they have been doing, and Gillian accompanying me on my first trip to Uganda and really showing me all of the different community-led conservation projects that they were doing,
seeing what they do,
was just really incredibly inspiring. And being in the fields of the sustainable farming projects that they have, and hearing from the reformed poachers how they used to be in the forest poaching and hunting and setting traps, and now they're there and they have a sustainable living,
and they're proud of it,
and they've changed their whole lives around, and their children are now not following them into the forest, they're following them into the agriculture and farms, in a different way of life. So that first visit really sparked even more an incredible passion for what we're doing, and it continues to this day.
Wow, that's amazing. Now I understand, because the choice of a name has a lot of meaning and power. Gorilla Values, amazing. I quite like that. It's amazing. And it's a very strong animal, by the way. Can look scary, but not aggressive.
It looks scary, but all too often it's used as a scary animal. And I've gone to see them. I've been fortunate enough to visit them 3 times. And it's just an incredible experience. It really is. You're seeing a big silverback holding a tiny little baby gorilla in his hands, in the palm of his hands, and the way that they look at the father, looks at the baby, and you can just really see that we are, I think, 98+% the same DNA, us humans, as gorillas are. And you can really see that connection and love, and they are all family oriented. And
I think they would only be aggressive if you threaten their families, and that's something that we very much
value ourselves.
Yeah.
Self-defense?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I don't want to provoke them, because I'm not strong enough to...
Last time we went
to see
them...
The best I can do is run.
Well, last time we were there, we saw a silverback break a tree that was double the width of my thigh with his hand. One hand, he just leant on it and the thing snapped like a toothpick. So wow. Their strength is just phenomenal.
It's amazing. Now, in terms of the habitats of these gorillas, I've seen some countries with national park using electric fence to deter wild animals from leaving the national park or leaving their habitats. How is it like in Uganda or even DRC?
Yes, so from what I've seen with Bwindi is that they have a... So Bwindi is the part that I've been to twice, and of the forest. So it's an incredibly rich and diverse forest. The nature that is there is incredible. The sounds, the smells is quite fantastic. But as you enter the park, or as you enter the forest, a lot of the locations, there's tea plantations, so they create a barrier between the communities, and it's very thick, a natural barrier, and quite difficult for the gorillas to walk through. So the gorillas kind of look at it. I know that they come up to those perimeters, and from what I've understood, most of the time they just turn around and go back into the forest, because it almost looks... I guess it's not too much work for them because they're so strong, but the path of least resistance is probably a better option for them. So that's definitely what we've seen. We've also seen that in certain areas, I haven't seen myself, but I've heard in certain areas they'll use beekeeping as well as a kind of deterrent for
like a natural electric fence.
But with my own eyes, I haven't seen actual electric fences. They are using interesting ways to kind of make that separation between humans and the forest and the gorillas.
Colorful radio.
And in terms of the population, I know you work with partners on the ground. Do they say it's diminishing or is okay, or it needs to be, is a point of concern in terms of population of gorillas?
Yes, yeah, so a little while ago, the gorillas were moved off the critically endangered list. So now there is over 1,000 gorillas in the wild. Apparently during COVID, there was a baby boom on the ground in Uganda with the gorillas, which is
they had
great.
A lockdown too.
They had a lockdown.
They did. They had their rangers in there protecting them.
Lockdown, and it was very critical time as well for the gorillas, because the gorillas are very susceptible to any of the different types of flus or any kind of
diseases
that we carry as well. So it was very fortunate that up until now there were no recorded cases of COVID within the gorillas and their families and their troops. So, yeah, it's a great thing.
They're doing better.
It's moving up. The consensuses are done, I believe, every 5 years. So although that they know that the numbers have increased and they kind of keep track of at least the habituated families as much as they can. Of course, there's all of the unhabituated families. But then they do the consensus every 5 years, and then they get a more precise numbers. But it has been a steady increase over the past few decades, and brilliant. All based around the community-led conservation efforts.
That sounds cool. In terms of people across the UK or even US, if I was to maybe purchase some of your clothing for that Golira brand, how do I... my purchase connect to their conservation?
Well, every item that we sell, whether it's the clothing or accessories or swimwear, every item that we sell, we donate a certain amount per item sold to the gorilla organization directly, and that amount varies. We have some items that are 100% of our profits go directly to the organization, and they're a special design that comes out every collection, and other items it has the regular donation amount. But regardless, every single item that we sell, whether it's to a customer or to a stockist or to anyone, we donate directly to the gorilla organization. And that money goes directly to supporting their community-led conservation projects.
And we're very happy, because we found out from Gillian that through all of our efforts as a brand, as that gorilla brand, we are their largest donor.
The largest single
donor to the gorilla organization after the
second only to the EU.
So... As a new brand over the past couple of years, we're very, very happy with the impact that we've been able to make and building support along the way.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really cool. In terms of, it's a bit more like, no, I wouldn't say it's more something like fair trade. The way they do it is not, is it? It's different. You know, fair trade.
So with regards to what, sorry?
Fair trade, if it's terms of farming, the products they purchased for fair trade, I think they give away some percentage away. Maybe it's the same concept in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we're all about impact first, and we do everything that we can, and we put impact before our own profit. And it's been something that's been from the very, very get-go. Of course, a brand has expenses, and when you're first starting out from the very early days, of course, we were donating from the very beginning from every single purchase that we made. So it's always been a very important fact for the brand. It's something that will stay with us forever. And it's always impact first.
It's a fundamental part of who we are and what we do.
So when you started, was it very easy ride? Or was it a joyrider experience?
Well, to be honest, this is nor myself have had any experience in before. So
we talked about our kitchen table once our kids were asleep, to be perfectly honest.
So it's really been under the watchful eye of specifically our 13-year-old daughter. We have two other children since then.
She's seen it from the very beginning.
She's seen the designs on our kitchen table all the way through. And to be honest with you, it's been all about research. It's been a lot of lessons learned along the way. We've made mistakes.
But we hope we learn from them. Some really good partners to work with.
And we feel that to this day, at this moment in time, we feel that we really have a great, great group of people that are all aligned with our vision and really working towards the same goals as we are. And yeah, it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of passion has been thrown into it.
And I think it took a lot of research and a lot of time to make sure that we were working with the correct people, because we always wanted to make sure we were working with people who had the same values as us and the same commitment as well. So that was a really important part of the research for us.
Mm. That was very important, because you may have all these ideas of conservation, but you go on the ground in Uganda or Democratic Republic of Congo, and when you speak to someone, they will be like, "What's wrong with you? Are gorillas complaining? Why don't you leave them alone?"
Wow. Well, I think this really has been just where, again, I go back to mentioning Gillian, having her, just all of her stories over the past 25 years or so, plus or minus, of her work. And a lot of the work used to be in Rwanda, now it's more focusing in Congo and Uganda, and really just, it's just a fascinating world. So of course it's a world that we knew nothing about up until a few years ago, and we're still learning. What we know now is getting,
and I guess we'll keep learning along the way,
more and more along the way. And the more times we're fortunate enough to visit there and see the projects that we're doing and speaking with the communities, the more that knowledge that we get, and it's a big learning curve across every element of what we're doing.
Well, that's great. Listeners, it's Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto, in the studio. I've been talking to Casey and Leo. What they are doing is great conservation for the gorilla. Talking about Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, and it doesn't just stop within the jungle, it gets up. Communities benefit, and great work they are doing. We are going for a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Welcome back, Africa in Focus. Your host, Julius Baluto. And yes, today we are talking about gorillas. Wonderful animal, beautiful, magnificent, majestic. I think they didn't have to call the lion the king of the jungle. Probably gorilla is. So, yes, before the break, of course, we went for the break. We talked about, you know, these wonderful brands, what you're doing, conservation activities. I just wanted to focus on something different, and this is Fume, because now you've already embraced Fume as part of these conservation activities. How does that work?
So when I started to think about the extra impact that we could make for the communities, we came up with the fundraising through physical adventures. So it's worth noting that I did not run at all. So I never used to run. I didn't used to like running. In fact, I hated it. And I used to run maybe 3 kilometers, 5 kilometers every now and then. So I thought, what better way to push myself and challenge myself by trying to take on the ultimate goal for myself, which would be a marathon or an ultra marathon of 50 kilometers. So we set up these challenges, which essentially were 2 marathons, 1 ultra marathon, 1 trek of 100 kilometers across the Grand Canyon, and 1 marathon distance run and trek in Nepal up a mountain. So these were the challenges that I set myself, that we could go out to our network and go and fundraise for these water projects, the Bwindi community water projects. Whilst I had come up with these challenges through many amount of people we were talking to. People were saying to me, you know, you should document it. You should do a photography exhibition. Why don't you tell the story in a fantastic way? And really what we ended up doing is we ended up pitching these physical challenges and what we were doing, and ended up pitching it to a guy called Charlie Doherty, who is the director of the film called Maggie. And I said, listen, Charlie, this is what we're doing. These are the physical challenges. We aim to raise X amount of money. We want to do the water projects in Uganda. We want to reach as many people as possible through these fundraising activities. And this is a kind of platform for you to be able to go out there and look at what story we can tell and look at all the different locations that I'm doing these challenges in. And this is where the idea to tell the story on the global scarcity of water situation that we find ourselves in as humanity, and focus on the different locations of the challenges. So the challenges were, as I mentioned before, the Grand Canyon. One was in Iceland, one was in Nepal, one was in Jordan, and of course Uganda was the ultramarathon, and that was the final one. And it all tied in with the ultramarathon, which I did last January in Uganda around Lake Mutanda. It was the first time that anyone had ever done a marathon, let alone an ultra, around this location with seven incredible volcanoes in the background, on either side the gorilla's habitat, and running through these beautiful communities. And this is where we came up with the film, and the film is called Maji, which means water in Swahili. And it was an incredible journey to be on, and very interesting to see the whole way that the members of the film world put together a documentary.
Another learning curve.
Casey, what about you? Did you run the marathon? Or are you a short distance runner?
To be honest, I absolutely hated running as well until quite recently. I mean, I could probably run from here to the end of the office before. But seeing Leo and his training and what he accomplished actually really inspired me. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't want to be left behind. So I started training and trying as well. I can now run a 10K, which for me is much, much more than I used to be able to. I'm aiming to be able to run a half marathon at our next challenge in October in Greece.
For our next initiative.
So slowly, slowly. I'm not quite there, but I'm catching up.
And you get there somehow.
One day.
And some of us, like me, I just walk.
Walking's good. Walking's, I like good walking.
Too. I just walk.
When I of get course, tired.
Yeah, the only time I'll run is if I see a lion behind me. That one I'll be very fast. This time it's not marathon.
Sprinting.
Yeah, okay, that's amazing. That's amazing what you guys are doing. So in terms of the communities where you work, it's a brilliant new idea that you had to bring into this society, different people. Were they receptive or cooperative, or they were like, we don't know what you're talking about?
No, I mean,
I think we were generally happily surprised with the reception that we've had the whole way through.
Yeah. And from working with the teams on the ground in the communities, all of the water projects are essentially led by the engineers, but it's the local communities who are getting involved in actually creating and building the infrastructure for the actual community. So they're the ones that are benefiting from these water projects. So they get themselves involved physically and emotionally in actually creating these improved water sources. Whether it's the protected springs or rainwater harvesting tanks or the different solutions that have been found. So they have definitely been very receptive. They've been very, very happy when I've gone and visited them, and they've spoken about the impact that it's had. And it's been a great, great project and process to be all involved in.
I think as a whole, the brand globally has been really well received.
Yeah,
and I think that's what was really nice. It's like surprising only because you don't know at the beginning, you don't know how it's going to be taken or received, but actually we've felt a lot of support from very many places.
And in capitals like London, New York, and these capitals, we don't have gorilla. They just have squirrel and foxes.
Yes. And maybe some dogs.
Exactly. How do you pass that message? Is just the brand, the clothing, is it enough to tell people what it's all about? Or at least a few, but do you do like proper talks to talk about what it's all about?
Yeah. So really, one of the, I think it's worth to note that in, it's been very important to us to have very good quality clothes, which is where it all kind of started, and really sourcing the correct manufacturers. So we manufacture all of the clothes in Portugal, and we visited the factory, I think around four or five times. So it starts really with the clothes, and every time we get into a new stockist, we give briefs to the salespeople within the new stockist and the boutiques.
As much training as they want.
So we get them involved and for them to understand the brand, because essentially they are the people who are there interacting with the customer when they walk into a store, and then being able to tell the story of what we're creating. And of course, you have all of the other different methods through our films, through our website, through social media, through different people that we're collaborating with, both in London and here within Greece.
Yeah.
And different opportunities, whether it's news channels, radio stations, etc. So news articles, on pop-up stores, we'll have leaflets there. We have a whole variety of ways to try and get our message out there. But of course, one thing that really does go back to is our clothing. We pride ourselves on having created very comfortable clothes, good quality clothes that last. It also starts there, really. Mm.
That's brilliant. When you look into more engagement in terms of the work you do, of course, I found out some countries with the work you're doing right now, immediately sometime may attract the eye of the government. And sometimes governments like to control things. Sometimes they're like, do it through me or not. Mm-hmm. Have you ever come across situations like that, or it's just been easy?
Well, I think it's only been positive, to be honest. Mm. We've had the local authorities, specifically in Kisoro, very, very happy to have us on board with regards to the water projects. So, of course, they have a limited amount of budget per year to be able to spend on new infrastructure for water, which is a rather small budget. So for an independent organization like us to actually go out there, fundraise, bring the funds, bring the engineers, the know-how, the local people, the local communities, and actually orchestrate it all so that actually things have happened in the last year to be able to have completed 7-8 projects already within the communities, being able to have reached 7,500 people with the hope to reach 15,000 to 20,000 people just within this first initiative. We've only been welcomed with open arms with all of the locals and the local governments and the local authorities. So everyone's been very happy to have us around.
That sounds cool. I think maybe especially the sports also kind of enhances interaction, isn't it? Like society sees something happening there, like if it's a sport event. And
yes, exactly. Yes.
Do you use a lot of that as well?
Yes, yeah, so we have, I think for the communities where we, I think, made the bigger impression was that not many people were doing runs around there. So when we partnered with a local runner called Sam, and him and his local running team, we were able to then really get to be able to build this ultra marathon in January and run through these communities as a group. And it was something that they hadn't really seen before. So definitely that kind of sport is something that hopefully we'll be able to go back each year and redo it. We're already planning for February next year for another, maybe half marathon or marathon. We'll see what happens.
That one you can walk on me. Have enough time to practice. I have enough time to practice. And I, you know, if the African spirit rises in me, I'll definitely do it. I'll run. Or I'll just imagine I'm being chased by a lion.
Not the fastest time.
Exactly. Yeah, so how do you see this panning out, the whole project? And maybe do you have any more ideas to, of course, that would be copyrighted, I hope.
I think...
So we have our next adventure coming up in October. It'll be the 7th challenge. It's in Greece. It's an event called the Navarino Challenge in a place called Costa Navarino. And they have it's very accessible. So it's for anything from families with kids to athletes to endurance athletes. They have 5Ks, 10Ks. We're doing the first full marathon with them under our name. So that will be our next fundraising challenge, and that's going to be for our second initiative, which is
it's within the same schools and the same communities that we've been working in so far. And what it is essentially is improved sanitation, toilet doors, because a lot of the schools, the kids and the girls' toilets, they don't have doors on them. So it's a combined
project
of improved sanitation and toilet doors, and just improving the whole toilet system. And again, that has a big knock-on effect on education, because if we've understood that a lot of the schools, the girls' toilets don't have doors on them, so they're very scared to go to the toilet from a young age, because obviously the privacy elements. And then
as they hit puberty, they
stop going, because once a month they're really scared to use the bathrooms. So something
as simple as a toilet door can keep their education.
So that is initiative number two, and of that Gorilla Brand, specifically. We will be fundraising again and welcoming people to join us in October for this Navarino Challenge, either to fundraise or to donate towards this initiative, which we have already started to cost up. The beneficiaries of that will be over 5,000 people. And that's in, I think if it rolls out the total way, it should be around 10 schools, I think, around 10 yep. schools. But we'll see, because we take them in phases.
And I think in general, one thing that we've always wanted to do is to grow our troop, so to speak, you know, our community of people who support us, who are involved, who want to know what we're doing. And the adventure fundraising side of the brand is a really interesting and fun and different way, I think, for people to be able to get involved. And if they, you know, people from all over the world, from all walks of life, can do anything from a walk to a run to a skip down the road, you know, it's something that they can easily do for a good cause. So it's a really, really good way for people to get involved. So the aim is to grow our troop as big as we can year on year.
So we have that, and then we have we are in the midst of doing product development as well, and of course looking to scale that side of the business on the clothing side of things, because of course it's more impact the bigger we grow on there. And then of course we're very excited with the films and with the release of Maggie later this year, which should be very exciting. Very excited to see it.
I look forward for that, especially watching Maggie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure hosting all of you. Are you in Greece right now? Or?
Yes, we're in our office in Greece.
I suspect there could be some sunshine.
Yes.
Wow, I envy you, you know. In our London, winter time forgot to go away.
Yes, as it usually does, I think.
Yeah. No, it's been a pleasure hosting you. Maybe finally you can say your both names, like Leo Hu, Casey Hu, just for the sake of our listeners, because they were like, there are so many Leos in London.
Yep. So I am Leo Gripari, founder of That Gorilla Brand.
I'm Casey Gripari, also the founder of That Gorilla Brand.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure hosting you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned for more programs coming to you from Colorful Radio. Keep it colorful as we go global. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Colorful Radio.
Wait, make us that new. abominable. Yo, look, why you gotta feed me lies? I ain't hungry for none of that BS. Big stepper like I'm PS. She give me in the back of the Prius. On you from my head of DS. Ask if I like you back, why ES? Old school days hiding when they see us. They better abominate. Look, I feel like I'm making my bag. Why? Steady trying to get paid. I be in a lab, no breaking bad. Now we need a bad one, like Vanessa from Blade. Yeah. Or maybe one from the States. Darling, I don't mean to be selfish, but selfish is just one of my traits. I don't give a toss if I'm doing. Look, she says she wanna be big. Darling, it don't work that way. No. If I had a pound for every time somebody told me I can't, I'd be clearer than Dave. Old school days, hunting for a Santan. Instance getting dropped in a day. Bally on face, stepping out as a black man. Cause the feds want me in a cage. Look, why you gotta feed me lies? I ain't hungry for none of that BS. Big stepper like I'm PS. She give me in the back of the Prius. On you from my head of DS. Ask if I like you back, why ES? Old school days, hiding when they see us. They better run when they... Look, old school days running around making a sound. Jumpy settings of the Christmas. Jay Way on a elliptic. Pumpy settings of your listening. And this one's too enticing. Shouldn't even need to break her back. Bum time home of the gully and Gaza. Young boy dishing up. Told my young boy, stay off the road and keep your head down like it is down. Thumbs up. My Jamaican ting with the biggest of bats. Come try offer me some rum punch. Had to show her I'm not on the drinking ting, baby. I'd rather just smoke. But you can rub me down while I talk. And then I can to you. Listening to reggae and calypso with my yard one, but she not like reggae. Posted up with my T and Zegge, trying to kick back and see what's on telling. When the back come, way too alluring, baby. Slow down while you jigger like jelly. Caribbean one come brown and round, figure eight like Keisha from Billy. Look, why you gotta feed me lies? I ain't hungry for none of that BS. Big stepper like I'm PS. She give me in the back of the Prius. On you from my head of DS. Ask if I like you back, white DS. Old school days hiding when they see us. They better run when they. Look, why you gotta feed me lies? I ain't hungry for none of that BS. Big stepper like I'm PS. She give me in the back of the Prius. On you from my head of DS. Ask if I like you back, white ES. Old school days hiding when they see us. They better run when they.
Bam bam bam, Biggie bam bam bam. Guilty duty, yeah. Skin promise, yeah. She got the kind of body make you stop. The kind of body you could turn to watch. That Biggie bam make I lose my mind. African girl, Charlie, make I lose my mind. Ah, yeah, yeah. Now, auntie, baby, on auntie, cry, kumbia. Baby, oh, auntie, oh, sisi, cry, kumbia. So, don't you, don't stop, man. Guilty talent makes you slow down for me, yeah. Cause, a biggie bum, bum. Baby, your body gets fire. A biggie bum, bum. I say my baby get the fire. A biggie bum, baby.